Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this morning. We pray that we would have ears to hear you, to hear your written word and your spoken word. Would you soften our hearts so that we may understand what you are calling us to this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So the kingdom of heaven is like a sausage. A sausage in the bottom of a dog's bowl, or in the bottom of our dog's bowls anyway. And when they find it, they throw out all of the other food in order to take the sausage. That is the kingdom of heaven for our dogs. But when I first read the passage this morning, I was actually reminded of the TV show called The Detectorists. I wonder if anybody's watched it. Some people really love it. We love it in our house. Tim loves it. And just reminded about Andy and Lance, who are two very ordinary guys who love their metal detectors and love going out on the farms and trying to find hidden treasure. And more often than not, they don't find hidden treasure. The difference is about Andy and Lance that in order to get the hidden treasure, it's for money, it's for gain. But in our parables this morning, the hidden treasure is about giving everything up in order to get that thing of very, very great worth. I won't tell you what happens in Detectorists if you haven't watched it, but it's a really lovely watch. It's a really lovely program. Now, our gospel passage this morning comes towards the end of a chapter which is dedicated to parables spoken by Jesus. And in Greek, the word parabolo means to throw alongside or to put one thing by the side of another for the sake of comparison. And so the aim was to put a natural, known truth besides something that hearers could relate to, alongside a spiritual truth. And even though Jesus shared this spiritual truth with everybody, only people with ears to hear could understand what he was actually saying. And the parables that we hear this morning continue in the same vein, talking about the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus relates to us several scenarios for the audience to understand. Now, it can be difficult to understand what the kingdom of heaven means, but it's one of the central themes that runs through Matthew's gospel. John the Baptist talks about the kingdom of heaven drawing near in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, Jesus begins to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us not to worry about everyday life, about the things that we're going to eat or drink or wear. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added to us. In fact, Matthew is the only one to use the kingdom of heaven in his gospel. The other gospels all refer to it as the kingdom of God. And some scholars believe that this is because of the Jewish tendency to avoid writing God's name, avoiding using the vowels in his name. But in fact, you do find in Matthew's gospel places where the kingdom of God is mentioned. It's mentioned four times. So what else might be going on? Why might he be calling it the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's commonly understood that the Jewish people were expecting this physical Messiah, this physical king to come in, to rule and to reign, to overthrow the Romans. And because of this, they couldn't understand that he was a spiritual God. He was bringing a heavenly kingdom. He even speaks to Pilate when he's on trial about this heavenly kingdom. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." So in Matthew's gospel, by using the word kingdom, he was helping those Jewish hearers to understand that this was a spiritual, heavenly place that they were seeking. So we're going to have a quick look at those three parables, and then I want to just bring it down to the hidden treasure and to the pearl of fine great worth. So the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure, which when found brings unspeakable joy and is worth selling all of one's possessions for. That's a joy worth all that you have giving up for. And the fine pearls. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like finding a pearl of great value and then selling all that you have, because it's so great in worth, it's so wonderful that you would give up everything for this pearl. And then finally, we had the net. The net caught fish of every kind, showing that the kingdom of heaven is diverse. It's not just for one kind of people. It's for all people, from all countries, from all cultures, but those people must believe. So as Jesus explains, the hidden treasure and the fine pearl represent discovering the kingdom of heaven and selling everything to obtain it, so great its worth. To give up everything in order to gain Christ is worth the sacrifice. Or is it? Perhaps this is too much to ask for some people. If God asks too much of them, do they simply just step away from the faith, unwilling to pick up their cross, unwilling to make sacrifices? We often hear of people who leave the church because it didn't live up to their expectations. They were disappointed, they were hurt, they fell out with somebody and decided they just couldn't possibly come back. But finding Christ should be worth everything to us. We should be willing to give up everything that we have when we find this hidden treasure, this pearl of great value. And we should recognize that all worldly wealth pales into insignificance. We should be willing as a church family to persevere with one another for the sake of the gospel, to strive for unity even when we don't get along, even when we don't understand one another, even when they don't live up to our expectations. In our reading from Philippians this morning, in verses 7 to 8, Paul speaks in a similar vein. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I might gain Christ." In the parable, the man sells everything he has to gain the kingdom of heaven. In Philippians, Paul is prepared to suffer the loss of all things so that he might gain Christ. Now, it's not that you've got to pay for the kingdom of heaven. It's a free gift that's on offer to you. But the idea is that it is such a treasure, it is so great in worth, that you would be prepared to give up all things to receive it. And Paul was prepared to give up everything that he had. He gave up his status as a Pharisee. He gave up the power. He gave up the freedom and the authority that he had executed previously. Ultimately, this parable shows us where our heart is. Matthew says to us in chapter 6, "Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." And in the parable, Jesus goes as far as to say that the man who gave up everything for this treasure had great joy. Selling all that he had, he found this great joy. Now, I wonder how joyful I would be if I was required to sell everything I had for the kingdom of heaven, if I was required to let go of all my material possessions. Are we as Christians more concerned about worldly goods than we are about our relationship with Christ, the living God? Is there something that he might be asking you to do today? Something that he might be asking you to give up for him? Something that you're finding difficult or you're not quite willing to do? What's preventing you this morning from receiving the full treasure in your life right now and living abundantly for him? As followers of Christ, we are given those ears to hear the truth of God's word by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean it's always easy to hear, or that we feel like we can always be joyful in the Lord. Perhaps there are times when some of those amongst us feel like we haven't found the hidden treasure, when some of us don't feel like we've got the pearl of great worth. We feel more like the person who's excited when the metal detector goes off, only to find the copper coin or the tin can, rather than the Saxon hoard. Perhaps the treasure that we feel we're supposed to have isn't living up to our expectations. Perhaps we're living with grief, or abandonment, or despair, or depression, or anxiety, or loneliness, or money worries. None of which we ever imagined would be a part of God's kingdom of heaven here on earth. But the truth is that we live in the now and the not yet. We have a foretaste of the kingdom, But as Romans 8 says, the whole of creation groans, waiting for the coming kingdom. And in fact, Paul goes on to say that we too groan as we wait for the kingdom to come. We wait for the adoption as sons and daughters, for the redemption of our bodies, where wholeness reigns. We're waiting in hope for a time when Jesus returns and for when we receive that revelation promise of a new heaven and a new earth, where we will live with him fully restored, with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more weeping, no more gnashing of teeth, no more death, where every tear will be wiped away. But I believe there is good news for today. We can discover the hidden treasure. We can delight in the pearl of great worth. There is a spiritual connection that we can have with the living God here and today, right now. Might not be what you were expecting of Christianity. You might have thought that finding Christ meant immunity from all suffering, all sickness, all pain, all poverty. In Psalm 34, King David was distraught. But he actually wrote this psalm himself. And he's given it to us so that we may know and hear of God's goodness in the midst of suffering. And it's full of encouragement and praise. And David spoke out these truths to himself so that his heart could hear them. Such as verse 18, he says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." And in verse 8, he invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. When we seek refreshment for weariness, we find goodness in God, and that helps to renew us. And the refreshment is available every day, as often as you need it. God hears us. He comes down to us. He's with us. He knows us and loves us. We can enjoy a spiritual relationship with the living God. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8 says, was sent to help us in our distress, to comfort us, to teach us, to guide us, to help us in our weakness. Romans 8 even says that the Holy Spirit is there for us when we don't even know what to pray. He intercedes on our behalf with God because he knows our hearts. So I hope that this morning you can take comfort from the knowledge that God hasn't left you. You're not alone. He hasn't abandoned you. You're not down to your own devices. He sees your heart. He knows your pain and your suffering. He sees the trauma, the anxiety, the depression, the worry. He even understands what it is to be human. He lived in a physical body. He endured immeasurable pain. He was excluded, downtrodden, not believed, ridiculed, and laughed at. He's been through it all. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see things with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then, when Jesus returns, then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely." We do live in a broken creation, in these broken bodies, but with the promise of the kingdom of heaven. So we must recognize that this was not and is not a physical kingdom. Jesus didn't come primarily to heal us here on this earth. The kingdom of heaven here and now is just a foretaste of what we're going to receive. And we can experience some of that joy by opening our hearts to him today, right now, by inviting him into all that's going on in our lives, by allowing him to minister to us through the Holy Spirit. And we can do this by leaning in to the living God, who isn't distant, who isn't judging, but who is close and compassionate, our Abba Father, our Daddy. He knows our hearts. He knows us completely. He intercedes on our behalf, even when all we have are groanings. So I want to invite you this morning to open your hearts in prayer with me and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we receive together a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven as we receive this hidden treasure and this pearl of great worth.